We are here Friday night, and y'all know what that is another day and another time for our Friday night sermons. As I said, we've been gone for about, by mid-March, I believe. So, you know, I've been looking forward to and praying and fasting and asking, you know, for help. Yes, I got to give Cox some credit. They've been making improvements, but there's still an issue out there, you know, because every time it rains, I lose my stability in the upload side of this thing. Or when it gets cold, those lines seem to shrink. But again, I'm hoping people around here start complaining and other people will be affected. Maybe maintenance will start doing their job as the technician said he was going to do. This message, believe it or not, was supposed to have been preached way back in March before these issues took us down. Every time I made an attempt to preach the message, the internet goes down. Every time I attempted to do a Bible study, the internet goes down. And folks, I can tell you at times I felt like Satan was just kicking me hard. And I felt like he was just trying to stop this ministry altogether. But in the good part, maybe it was a blessing. Because here's why. This week actually makes 4 weeks now that I have been elected as a pastor of a church that I'm now at. So 4 weeks ago, basically, they voted on me to be their pastor. So maybe this was needed. Maybe I needed to focus on this a little bit to try to settle in before I get back to this and get that little balance going. Because handling lawn care business, now handling the church and trying to deal with this. So maybe I got to find that rhythm, you know. So again, it's Friday night. We are here. And this is the message that I wrote. And I came across this message when I was preaching at another church, you know, and this is a country drive that we make. You know, we ride in the country to these rural churches, and I'm willing to go to these churches because there's some wonderful folks in these churches. But when I was preaching at one church in particular, I was driving home back from that church, and I was looking at all the folks living on all the farms that live in those rural areas. And on those farms, I was thinking that evening time will come at the close of the day. And I used to work on a farm when I was real little and a young lass, you know, so I know what it's like on a farm. And when evening time comes, you know, the cows had to come to the barn, you had to pick up things, and it was time to eat and everything else. So, you know, the horses came in, the chickens came home to roost, you know, so a lot of things was going on in evening time. But as I was looking at those farms, my mind started to drift back to when I was a young boy. And I used to remember how me and my sisters in our neighborhood used to play. And folks, you probably can, if you're near my age, can remember how we was outside playing all day long. We was play. But then at the end of the day, mom would stick her head out the door and holler, "Y'all, come on home. It's evening time." That's when we knew it was time to go in. You know, when mom called you and said, "Hey, that's it. Come on in, eat your supper, time for a shower, bath, or whatever." We had baths back then. That's when we knew evening time was time for us to come home. But as I was thinking on that time and that period of my lifetime, my thoughts started to shift to the current events that's happening around this world. It shifted to the times that we are living today. I was thinking how things have become, the way this nation itself has strayed away from what it used to be, and now the condition that it is in. If you're thinking about me, and my friend was talking a little bit this morning, how this nation used to be many years ago, how people were raised up, how we were raised up. You don't see that no more. You don't see it no more. You see immorality. You see all kind of wickedness. You see young kids with bad attitudes and everything else. I mean, it's just the way this nation is now compared to how it was when I was a young kid and probably for people older than me. Folks, we have strayed a long way off. Because you know why it happened? You know what's the main reason why all this is happening? Because we have taken God out the picture. This nation no longer wants God. People in this nation don't want to have nothing to do with God. People in this nation no longer want to live by the word of God. It's been removed from schools. being removed from governmental places, being removed from the workplace, being removed basically almost from church, being removed from the homes. People no longer want to live by the moral standards that God has written in His Bible. And many people want to try to interpret the Bible and do things according to what they see fit, but not really live the way the Word of God is telling us how to live. That's another debate all alone. But you know what? By us removing God, taking Him out of everywhere, and it's even being taken out of social media, my friends. But worse, what's worse of all to me, what I've been seeing as of late for the last, about the last 2.5 years, you know, since this pandemic started, many are now saying, you know what, we no longer need God. Get out of my life. Get out of my faith. Get out of whatever. I don't need you, God. Many are now chasing God in a different form, a different format. They are making God into their image, but they do not want to live by the Word of God. The problem is, with many, they no longer want to live according to the way the Word says to live. And it's not surprising me. It's not surprising me the shape that we are in today. It's not surprising me the way people are today. Because again, when you take the Word of God out, when you remove it, and when you start saying, I will chase my other God, I will do things my way, then folks, you're going to see what we are seeing today. So I began to wonder in all of this, and all my thoughts, and when I wrote this message, and even then I'm still collecting them, I began to wonder, are we closer to the end as ever before? I'm not going to get into astrology teaching or whatever, but you know, I'm not going to get into end time debates and all this other stuff, but folks, we are in what I call the latter days. I'm not going to get into debates about saying, you know, the rapture and this and everything else, because again, you know, from what it was years ago to now, yeah, I believe we are gotten closer. I believe we are getting closer. I'm not going to be standing here predicting the time. No, I don't do that. But when you look around and you see all the wickedness going on, all the immorality, all the hatred, all the crimes, all the fightings, all the killings, my goodness, God has to be upset to His stomach. He has to be deeply saddened to see the condition and the state that we as human beings got in. He has to be. And I believe He may be getting close where He says, you know what? Enough is enough. I had enough. It's almost time for me to say, son, go get your bride. I think it's happening now. That's another story. So with that, our friend will post our reading scriptures for tonight. If you got your Bibles, follow along. Lisa, she will post them for you. Our reading scriptures for today, or for tonight, will be Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. And look what it says, my friends. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We ask you, Father, to be with us for a short little time. Father, as always, in opening prayers, you know, we ask of you to search our hearts and our minds. If there's anything in there that we have not confessed to you today, Father, we have fallen short of your precious glory. I have fallen short of your precious glory. So I ask of you to forgive me where I have missed the mark. Please, Father, allow me to repent of my sins because I am a sinner. I admit this and I know this. But I ask of you to show me the mercy and show me the grace. Look, it's not perfect. When none of us is perfect, we're not going to get this right, but one day we will. But for right now, I'm asking of you to forgive us where we have fallen short. Father, you know our prayers. Everybody who's in this room right now, you know they are praying for something. You know they are asking you for things. You know that we are making requests to you. And again, it's not about our time. It's about how you do things, when you do things, and why you do things. But we just going to submit to that. But we ask in the name of Jesus, hear the prayers of the folks here tonight. And those who are not here, has not shown up in this chat room, or whatever it may be. Look, I know we had technical difficulties. That's why half of them are not here, and I get that. But Father, you do the drawing. Not me. Not us. You. So I ask you to bless these folks here tonight. Be with them, strengthen them, lift them up. Put that protective hedge around them. Guard them. Let them know that you love them. Yes, we are facing seasons of difficulties. And some things that's happening to our lives, we don't understand why. But we have to dig down deep within our souls and trust you and have faith that these things will work out. And however they work out, we're still going to trust you one way or the other. Father, again, be with these folks, strengthen them, put a protective hedge around them, watch over them and love them and let them know that you love them very much. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. And y'all seen the bot, it flashes the message, and that's an automated thing I use to make announcements. But the title of this message tonight is called At Evening Time, or When All Things Come Home. Now, take a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Look what it says right here. And this is why I like this message here, and this title, and this passage. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Now, friends, what this is telling me, and we learn this in our Bible lessons whenever we have them, there is a harvest time that is sure to come after the seed has been planted and cultivated, and whatever is planted will be sure to appear at reaping time. My friends, do you get this? Whatever's planted, whatever's cultivated, it will appear at reaping time. And the reason why I'm saying this is because, see, folks, this nation and the people of this nation has turned away from God, and now they are living a life of sin. And friends, you do not have to look far to see that. You don't. I see this right here in our neighborhood. I see it in my family. Sadly, I see it in churches. See, we don't have to go very far to see sin. You just turn the television off a little bit and you'll see it. And what these folks are doing, how they're living in their lifestyle, living in the ways they're living, what they do not know, my friends, what these people who's living in unrighteousness or wickedness or whatever you want to call it, what they do not know, my friends, that sin comes with a price and a cost. Sin cost. You know, I was reminded about a segment in Marvel movies, Doctor Strange. Yeah, I think that's the movie. I forgot the gentleman's name. Was at the end when Doctor Strange, he used some kind of thing to kind of turn time back, to change time, to manipulate something. And Doctor Strange thought, hey, it was okay to do that because he wanted to win for the good guys. But I remember the line that the guy told Doctor Strange before he walked away. He said, I can't be part of this. I will not be part of this, of the path of what you are doing. But he said, payment comes due. Payment comes due. And folks, for everybody who's living in sin, let me tell you, payment comes due. There is consequences to your sins, yours and mine. All of us who sins, there are consequences we're going to have to pay for. Trust me, it will happen. We can't avoid it. Sin comes with the price and it comes with the cost. And what's sad about this, when you really think about it, many of these people who are living in sin, do not know what the emptiness of sin will do to them. They're empty. They don't know. They don't know the damage that sin will do. And seeing as we study the Word of God, it is very clear to anyone who is seeking the Word, it's very clear to anyone who is seeking that we are reaping as a nation, as a people, what has been sown. Folks, we are reaping what we are sowing. The evidence is out there. All you got to do is look. You know, in the book of Proverbs, when you look at that, there's a short passage that says, fools make a mock of sin. And we have, you know, when you think about it, all kinds of different sports in this country. But I can tell you today, the greatest sport in this country, the greatest sport in America is sin. The greatest sport in America is sin. Friends, our nation is sick. And as a nation, we have purposely turn blind eyes and deaf ears to what is happening to us as a nation. Why? Why have we turned a blind eye and deaf ears as a nation? Think about that. Anybody come up with an answer? I know it. And I know the reason. It's because we refuse to repent. Because we have turned blind eyes and deaf ears to sin. Our nations become sick. It's all because we refuse to repent. Ecclesiastes 3:1, Lisa. That was the one previous. If you really think about this and you read and go to Romans chapter 1, we can see how far, my friends, when you look at that chapter, you can see how far this generation has gone. And we can also see three times in that chapter, chapter 1, you really studied very well. Look what God done in that chapter. God gave them up to a reprobate mind. When you understand what reprobate means, here's what it means. It means, folks, in the Greek, that God says, okay, enough. Enough. When you look at Romans chapter 1, when God was finally saying, by turning them over to a reprobate mind, he was saying to them, enough. I had it. It means that God is through with the abomination of their sins. Friends, judgment is coming. And I believe, I fully believe it with all my heart, friends, judgment has already started upon us as a nation. I can't help believe it, but seeing what's going on, because all I can see is God has already started judgment on us. Look at the fires, the droughts, the storms, the killing, the economy, the government. You see where I'm going with this? Judgment has come upon us, folks, because we are living in a nation as sin. And I believe this. And I believe it with all my heart because, again, how long you think we can get away with doing things before finally God's going to say, you know what, I'm going to turn y'all over to a reprobate mind because y'all refuse to repent. There is coming a time, my friends, which hadn't gotten worse yet. You know, it's worse now, but it hadn't really got worse. There is coming an evening time when all things will come home. As I said last night in our Bible studies, there is going to be a climactic conclusion of all this. It's going to happen. In fact, my friends, every hidden sin will be revealed in all of us. Not some, not a select few, in all of us. Every sin will be revealed. And evening time is coming because nothing is hidden. Why? Well, look what Luke chapter 12, verse 2 to 3 says. Luke chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. And it says, for there is nothing covered that shall be revealed, neither hid that shall be known. Whosoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. You get that? Nothing is going to be hidden. There's one thing I know of all the years of preaching the gospel and dealing with broken-hearted people. Let me repeat this. There's one thing that I do know, preaching the gospel, being a minister, being here in this chat room, folks, and dealing with broken-hearted people, I can tell you this much. There is no fun in the wages of sin. People think it's cool to live like they want. They think it's cool to do what they want. They think it's cool to go against God like they want. Let them do that. Because I try to speak to people sometimes, look, hey, I'm a little hard, but I'm going to tell you straight up, I am a preacher who preaches the truth, but I'm going to let you know, hey, things that's happening and things that's going on, we have to understand it. We have no control over it. None. God is the one that allows things to happen. God is the one that either ordains it or he allows it. One or the other. We have to accept the fact we just need to trust him and our faith say, God, okay, I don't understand these things. I don't know why these things is happening. But you know what? I'm going to go ahead and say, okay, I would rather for it to be like this. But you know what? Let your will be done. But you go ahead and do things the way that you're supposed to do it. And we struggle with that at times, my friends. We have a hard time with that because, you know, we like the element of control. We love to have things in control. We love to do the things our way. We want the things the way we want to go. But the fact is, my friends, you've got to understand one thing, that God is the one that has the ultimate way and not us. You see, that's a lesson as a minister I learned a long time ago. I learned this more recently in the last 3 years when I have realized and said, you know what, everything that I've been trying to do, the things I've been saying, you know, to people and the prayers I've been asking and the manipulation, so to speak, I've been doing, I realized I came to a conclusion, you know what, okay, God, I'm just going to have to accept the fact that whatever becomes, becomes. And I'm going to trust you. Even though it may not work in my favor. You know, the prayers may not be answered the way I want them to be. But I have to understand, it's going to have to be about you. It's going to have to be about you. Folks, there's no fun in wages of sin. Oh, look, let me tell you. Yeah, sin dresses itself to look good. See, the devil knows how to get our attention. Sin may have its season of fun, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Even the commercials today on television, when you look at them, oh my goodness. Oh, the commercials on television today promote glamour and excitement of sin. But if you ever notice those commercials, they never show you the finished products. They show you the sin. They show you how good. Yeah, just do it. Yeah, do what you want. Yeah, live. Yeah, fun. Hey, do this and do that. But they never, ever show you the end results and the damage of sin. Never. Satan doesn't want you to know the end results. And in fact, this is the finished product of what we're dealing with every day in our country through broken lives and miserable situation that sin has caused. There's a price to pay for all of us. None of us is exempt. None. If you think that you are exempt from sin, that there's going to be no consequences to pay, My friends, let me tell you something straight up right now. You are only kidding yourselves. All of us have sinned, and there is a price to pay for those sins. May come right away, may come later, but there is a price. But those who are trapped in sin, those who are living in the life of sin, they don't know the situation that sin's causing them, because you know why? They are caught up in the entrapment of sin. It's like a bait. You know, y'all, I use them little mouse baits and roach baits and fly baits or whatever. And, you know, even when I go fishing, I use those little spinner baits. You know, boy, they look pretty in the water. They got a little thing spinning, and it looks good to a fish. But what happens, that fish does not know there's a hook inside of that little skirt or the mice traps or whatever. They do not know there's poison in that thing. So, boy, it looks good. It looks enticing to them. So they go nibble on it, and they bite on it, and guess what? Bam! They get hooked or they die. And sin does that to us. And I do know a few things about the devil, my friends, according to the word of God. I do know a few things about him. Because look what Luke chapter 22, verse 31 says about him. And this is Jesus himself talking, my friends. He says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. You see, folks, he does not play for fun. He plays for keeps. The Bible says he desires to destroy all your dignity. He desires to destroy you, my friends. He desires to destroy all decency. And he desires to damn every soul's destiny. You see, the devil, what he wants to do, he wants to take them to the lake where you cannot ski, you cannot fish, nor can you cannot swim. The Bible, my friends, in fact, calls it the lake of fire. Oh, if only men, women, and boys and girls can only accept this truth from God himself, they would see things differently. And I use this a lot in my sermons, my friends, because if we were able to get a glimpse of hell, if God would just allow us to just take a look in hell, you would change your mind quickly. It would frighten you. Why do I know this? Friends, I'm reminded of a story of a friend of mine when I used to do hospice work. And hospice care, you know, we know what that's about, because that's giving a person, you know, care for their last days or weeks or months or whatever it may be. But I remember about this one guy we used to visit. We tried and tried and tried and tried talking to this gentleman about Jesus. Refused to accept it. Dude had a bad attitude. The nurses themselves said the dude was just angry. But we went back 1 week, I think it was a couple weeks at the last time we visited him, we found out he passed away. Oh, so we didn't know that. But we was talking to the nurses on duty at the time, and it was telling the pastor, and I was listening in on the conversation, and it was telling the pastor about this guy. He said, Pastor Ken, I don't know what happened, but whatever happened in that room that night sent chills up the backside of my neck. And he says, oh, why? He said, just before that guy died, he was screaming at the top of his lungs, no, no, I don't want to go. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. Don't take me. Don't take me. Don't take me. No. And he died in horror and fear. And when he said that, first thing I was thinking of, and he was, my friend, that guy was going to hell. The angels was carrying him there, and he saw what hell was all about. And it scared him, but it was too late. That's why I say, my friends, if we can get a glimpse of that, we will change our minds. But if you're getting a glimpse of hell, my friends, that means you're already gone. Once you start, there is no coming back, because the Bible is very clear on this, and many misconceptions, preachers out there, and I love to slap them upside the head, because they can preach people can go to hell and come back, or they can preach they can go to heaven and come back. Folks, that's not so. That's not scripturally. That is not biblically sound. That is false doctrine that has been preached, because the Bible is very clear about the great gulf fixed between the two. One cannot go from one to the other. Once you're there, you're there, and that's it. Paul's very clear when he says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now, if that's the fact, and Paul needs to change that passage, he says, well, wait a minute, absent from the body, present with the Lord, oop, you can come back. No, it don't work that way. I'm sorry, my friend, but you know, that statement you just posted there, that's false. People who claim to visit that, no. I seriously doubt that, because again, that's not scripturally sound. I'm sorry, but that's the truth in the Bible. I preach the truth and stand by the truth and live by the truth. That's just those so-called ministers out there that preach this kind of stuff. But I use this illustration because I think, you know, yeah, if we can see the bad side of hell, it will frighten a lot of people into heaven. It will scare them out of hell. But once you, that heart stops beating, if you don't know Jesus Christ, downtown you go real quick, because again, Paul is very clear in scriptures. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now, some ministers don't preach that. Some don't like to preach the real truth because they're afraid of scaring their people in church. But I'm sorry, but I'm not one of them. Because my job as a minister is to present the truth to you so you can know the truth and understand the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But folks, we can read through the pages in the Bible and we can see the results of sin even in the lives of Solomon, Samson, David, and many more. We can see the results of sin even by the nation of Israel. We can see the results of sin by reading about the prodigal son, and we can see the slow progression of sin, what it does, and how it destroys. See, the Bible even says that this dude, he was in the hog pen of life, eating what the hogs ate. And that dude came to his senses. You know what? I'd rather go back to my father's house and just be a slave, because even the slaves were treated better than these hogs. He saw the results of sin, because the evening time has come in his life. And I'm sure that many people will agree with these truths. You don't have to if you don't want to. That's cool by me. I am what I am. Those of us who've been here for a long time, they know I preach truth and truth only, and that's it. But those who know me will agree that sin will take you further than you want to stray. Sin will keep you longer than when you want to stay. Sin will cost you more than what you are willing to pay. And yes, church, yes, my online friends, there is coming an evening time in this world. It's coming. It's coming. You see, the Bible is an unchanging principle. The Bible does not change, folks. This is why I love the truth. I will preach the truth and stand by the truth. God does not change. Men do. Men's opinion is the one that's changing, not the Word. They will manipulate it. They will try to bend it to conform to their ways, to justify their means and all this stuff. And I've seen a lot of people here talking, and I've seen a lot of different things. This is why I don't take everybody's side in this room. I don't. I listen, but I like to listen to both parties. But yet, people do manipulate scriptures to try to justify their means. That is wrong. They need to start living by the truth. But what's happening, they are falling into the entrapment of sin. So for those who's doing it, evening time will come. And that's why the Bible is an unchanging principle, my friends, that has never and will never, ever, ever change. It is the people who's changed. That's what's going on in this world. Remember what I just said about in Proverbs that God is not mocked, that whatsoever a man soweth, that he also shall reap. And why do I know this is true? Because I sold some bad stuff myself. I mishandled the authority of God to bend it my way, to try to convince people what I'm saying is true. But I found out I was doing it the wrong way. And guess what? I will still have to give an accountability for all those actions and sin that I committed. I don't know what to expect when I stand before Jesus, because again, he's going to hold me accountable for all those things, because as ministers and as teachers, we are held to a higher standard than you. And when I mean you, those of you who are not teachers and preachers and ministers, yeah, you're going to be held to a standard too. But I'm going to be held to a higher standard, and that frightens me. In fact, it scares me for the wrong that I have done, because there is a price for the sins that I have done that I am going to have to pay for. See, here's a story about a preacher who fell into immorality. And what happened to him, he lost his church, he lost his ministry, he lost his wife, he lost his family, and he told a preacher friend of his to tell all those he preached to that the wages of sin is death. He even went a little further, in fact, and told his preacher friend, "I die every day. I wake up in the middle of the night dying. I wake up in the morning as I shave and I think, if I could just cut my throat and bleed out, I would have a better day." He was thinking of committing suicide. And he even told his preacher friend, said, "Look, if I die before you, what I want you to do, I want you to preach at my funeral. Tell those people the truth. And if you don't, I am going to hold you responsible at judgment." You see why I preach the truth? Many folks and some of my other friends in here, they can testify about me, because there have been many that have came here, but when I spoke the truth to them, and I'm not going to mislead you. I'm going to have to speak the truth to you. And many don't like it, and they'll leave the chat because they don't want to hear it. But I'm sorry. I'm not here to please you. I'm here to help you understand true biblical truth. And if it steps on your toes, so be it. I'm not afraid to do it. And I mentioned that to the church that I'm at now. "Look, I want y'all to understand one thing before you get me, before I say yes. I'm a hard preacher. I'm one of those brimstone-type preachers. I'm not afraid to preach the truth, and I'm not afraid to call out sin for what it is, sin. I love you. I care for you. I will nurture you, build you up. But if I got to, I will call them out." Because we need to change our thought process. We need to be transformed. We need to be renewed. And if we're not willing to die to oneself, then you got a problem. You got a problem. And that's what this preacher's friend did. He told his friend, "Man, I messed up." He could have repented. I don't know where he became. You know, I wish I could have found the rest of the story to see if he actually did change. But you know what? He told his friend, "If you don't tell these people the truth at my funeral, I'm going to hold you responsible." So in closing, look, I'm going to leave y'all with this. You and I should know this very much. The devil himself is merciless. He is. I'm not trying to glorify him. That's a snake. That's an old fool. Every time I preach against him, guess what? The few that's in here tonight, they can tell you, I'm tested a lot. If I had a rubber band, I would give you an illustration of how much I am tested, because half the time I feel like that I'm being pulled and pulled and pulled and pulled and pulled so much, and I feel like that thing is about to snap, and I'm sitting here in my office right here, and sometimes I'm thinking, God, I can't handle this no more. But it doesn't pop. But the devil is merciless in those attacks. But I want you to know, in my experience, of the things that I've been through in my life, and look, I've been through some wickedness that can make the hair on the back of your head curl. Y'all think y'all the only ones that committed all kind of immorality? Huh. You ain't seen what I can tell you right now, what I done. I know. I know what you're going through, because I've been there. And I've done all those things and more. That's why I know now that living for Jesus Christ, and I'm talking about full, total submission. And it hurts at times, friends. Look, it hurts. There's times I just feel like I can't go no more. But I stand firm in my faith in Him. But I learned this, the enemy, he does not have the only way. I'm here today to tell you there is an escape from sin. There is. Our Lord Jesus said so in John chapter 14, verse 6. Beautiful words. Look what it says. And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Folks, He is the way of escape from all temptations. When you're tempted, don't say, well, I was tempted, Brother Jim, and I went, clicked on that mouse, and I went, clicked on that website, or I went, did this, or I went, did that, or I went, slept with this woman, or I went, hit that joint, or I was done. No, you done it because you wanted to do it. Don't give me that malarkey saying, well, I was tempted, I just couldn't resist it. Yeah, you can. But the reason why you caved in, because you allowed yourself to do so. There is a way of escape. Why do I say this? I was in the drugs big time. I was actually a seller. Cocaine like you never would believe it. Pornography, couldn't get enough of it. Pills, booze, women, you name it, I done it. I was hardcore, my friends. But the day I said yes to Christ, did I cave into all those temptations? Oh yeah, they came at me hard and furious. But you know what got me through it was that pastor said that when we are tempted but not beyond our means, that God provides a way out. Every time I was tempted, guess where I went? I stuck my nose in the Word of God. Every time. And before you know it, that temptation that was hitting me so hard went away. And then when it comes back, I get right back into the Word. God was giving me a way out, and look what He's doing to me today. So don't tell me you were tempted. Don't tell me you went got with that secretary and went to the hotel and slept with her or did this or that or whatever. Don't give me that garbage. You see, the real proof about addiction, or the real truth about addiction, we're not willing to admit that we have an addiction. Until you get to the point in your life you decide, I got a problem, and it's sin, and it needs to be dealt with. And every time you're tempted, go to the Word of God. Don't go to your friend. Don't go to that internet site. Don't go do this. Don't go do that. Don't do none of that stuff, because you have a choice. We've been given a free will. And if you fall into sin, because you decided to go into sin, hard as it may seem, some may be getting squirmish by hearing this, Well, sorry, folks, but that's the truth. Truth hurts, doesn't it? But see, when Jesus said this in this passage, what he is telling us, my friends, he is the way of escape from all temptation. And he is the way of escape from all damnation. He is the only way towards your salvation. He says, no man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus is our Savior, and he is our Redeemer, and he is our Victor. And what a responsibility we have, you and I, to take this message of hope to a hell-headed world. And it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't. Why I say it doesn't have to be that way? Look what 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 to 13. That's the passage I was talking about. And every time you're hit hard with temptations and whatever it may be, look what those words says, my friends. It says, therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape. Do you get this? Repeat those words. He will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So don't give me that junk. You say, well, Pastor Jim, I went slept with that woman. Oh, that joint looked too good. That naked lady on the internet looked beautiful. Don't give me that because I was there. God provided a way to escape. I decided to choose. What kind of choices you're making? Because friends, with sin, there is a price to pay. Friends, evening time is coming. Are you ready? Are you living for God? Does your lifestyle indicate that when people look at you? If not, what are you going to do about it? Those online listeners, if you're listening to this audio file, I hope that you went all the way through and you're at this point. If you're doing any of these things, what are you going to do about it? Because if Jesus was to show up right now, this very moment, would you be ready to come home? Or would you be ashamed and want to run away? If you need to get it right, then what's stopping you? Go to him. Repent. Tell him, I'm sorry. I need your forgiveness. I have sinned. I have done wrong. Come home to Jesus. Come home to him before it's really too late. Fix it. And get it right. Repent and turn away before it is too late. Amen. Let's pray.